As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Accelerating your fandom, this is Flash TV Talk.
Welcome to Flash TV Talk, the fan podcast dedicated to news, reviews, and more for the hit CW show, The Flash. I'm Bo.
And I'm Bell.
Bell! Man, how you doing tonight?
I am doing...
You put so much thought into this. I love this. No, this is the genuine Bellness of it all, right? Because like most people are like, I'm doing fine. They're lying. They're not telling you the truth when they say that. Nobody wants to actually answer that question with any kind of legitimacy. But no, Bell, despite the fact that this is an audio medium and silence is death, gets on here every single night, know what I'm about to ask him, with the same question I've asked him every single week for the past 7 years. And he puts the thought into it right then at that moment because he wants us to know the truth, ladies and gentlemen. So, Bell, how are you doing tonight? We know it's going to be true.
I was trying to tie that in to this week's episode about... you know, forces and time bubbles and things of that nature. There was no inspiration. Nothing came and it just didn't happen. I'm sorry. I failed you.
No, you're the avatar for the not failed force, for the win force, for the success force. That's what you are.
Well, you know, it doesn't happen all the time. Sometimes some episodes are easier to tie in than others, but this one was one of the more difficult ones.
I get that. It makes a lot of sense. Man, we have got an episode to talk about indeed this week, but a couple things I need to address right here out the gate. And I don't normally do this because obviously we're here to talk about The Flash. We're not here to talk about us. But something crazy happened to me this week. Some of you here in the United States of America may have caught wind of a tiger living like a Bengal tiger living in a domestic neighborhood. And I don't like to go on the internet and share my location. That, you know, I try to keep some of my personal and my private life close to the chest. You know, this is a fun show. We've got, you know, great listeners and everything here. But I've done other projects that you know, I've got some enemies. And so I don't really publicize where I live or anything like that.
He lives on the moon with Steve Rogers, everyone.
Yeah, I live on the moon. Let's just say I live on the moon with Steve Rogers. But if I didn't live on the moon with Steve Rogers, I'll just say this. That tiger, the proximity to my house is not far away.
Did you actually see it?
I did not see the tiger. However, I did bike by there yesterday in an effort to see whether or not said tiger was still there. Because you know what? Like some people around here are like going crazy about this thing because it's like we have a tiger living in, you know, our general proximity. And, you know, I'm more of the mindset of like, well, you know, in Houston and in Texas as a whole, we kind of had an ice age earlier. This extremely traumatic ice age that we went through for like a day, a couple of days rather. week. And you know, we got global pandemic. So sure, yeah, Bengal tiger living in the neighborhood. Okay, yeah, no, of course. Why wouldn't there be, Bell? That's really my question. Why wouldn't there be a tiger living in the neighborhood?
you have some extremely eccentric neighbors, it seems.
Well, you know, it's Texas. But here's the thing. I grew up with Mr. Rogers' neighborhood, and he had a tiger living in his neighborhood, and his name was Daniel. Anyway, so it's been a weird week. I just wanted to share that because it's just so weird. All right, so there's that. Let's talk about this show that we're about to talk about here. But of course, we can only talk about it because of the amazing support of our amazing patrons over at patreon.com/TV Talk. If you have not headed over there, be sure to do so. It is the reason why we are able to bring you the show every single week. And you get some great access like our Discord channel and all that good stuff. One last thing I'll make mention of before diving in is that Flashcraft. Yes, we are still doing Flashcraft. Some of us are. Bell is on and off.
I'm doing evil things behind the scenes.
Yeah, yes.
Question mark.
I hear about these evil things, but I don't know about these evil things. So that's kind of that's odd. But no, so we are still doing Flashcraft. We actually have we are actually about to rebuild Star Labs. Our greatest hits. We're gonna revisit our greatest hit, except we're gonna do it on Earth 2. So that is coming out. If you haven't checked out the Flash TV Talk YouTube channel, that has got some great Flashcraft updates there. If you like Minecraft, then that's a good thing to check out. If you like us, that's also a good thing to check out. If you don't like us and you don't like Minecraft, then do not check that out. You would not like it. All right. I think that's going to be it for all of the housekeeping items. Bell, are you ready to jump into this episode?
Let's do it.
All right, man. Let's jump into the rundown.
The rundown.
Episode 9 of Season 7, Timeless, directed by Minaj Uda and story by
Kristen Kim and Joshua V. Gilbert.
Bell, what happened this episode?
Well, Nora, and you can't see me, but I'm doing air quotes every time I say Nora, so just pretend that I'm doing air quotes every time that I say right. Nora, because air quotes are in this entire description every time it says. So anytime there's a weird inflection in my voice, just know that I'm doing air quotes. So anyway, Nora tells Iris and Barry that they created the other forces and vows to kill Syke and Dion. Barry wants to travel back in time to remove their connections from the forces, but Iris and Sisko disagree. Sisko then gives Camilla a camera that can detect the forces, which shows a connection between them and Iris, allowing Team Citizen to track down Nora. Barry, Sisko, and Chester enhance the tachyon device to extract the force's particles, and Barry retrieves Harrison Wells from the year 2000 for help, who can create a time bubble to protect the timeline.
hang on. I heard the time quotes on the time bubble. What is it with that?
There's quotes on the time bubble.
Okay, fair enough. Keep going.
Okay. Dion arrives at Star Labs, realizing that Barry will take away who he is and destroys the tachyon harness. Iris, Allegra, and Camilla search for Nora at the Allen house, but are ambushed by Syke, who gives them nightmares of Nora. Chester fixes the tachyon device while Joe tries to dissuade Barry from his plan of action, but Barry and Wells go back in time regardless. The extraction revives Alexa and erases Syke and Dion in the present day, allowing Iris to escape. Barry then smashes the device to revert the changes upon realizing that Iris, Sisko, and Joe are right. Caitlin notices Alexa's revival, so Barry and Iris use their connection to the forces to revive her. Wells returns to the year 2000, and Sisko and Camilla realize that they need to leave Central City. Meanwhile, Nora confronts Dion.
Dun, dun, dun! I heard him, man. Like, I literally heard the quotations. That was...
well, good. That was my intention. I'm glad that actually worked.
Incredibly successful.
I was going to do a Dr. Evil voice every time I said a quote, but I thought that might be a little much.
No. You put the right emphasis on the right syllable or whatever the right phrase is.
Emphasis on the right syllable.
Thank you. Yes, that's the one. Bell, yeah, a lot of quotations all the way around on this episode, and... a lot to theorize about. This is one of those episodes that's just chock full with like theory flavors, right? Like this is they lobbed up some balls for us to knock out of the park in many respects on this one, and I'm kind of looking forward to getting into it with you. First things first, who is this nice young lady that Sisko is having coffee with? I don't believe who is this? Like she seems so nice.
Well, you know what? She's got more screen time than the original Iris did in the 90s Flash, so there's that.
Accurate, 100% accurate. Camilla's back. Yes, man, Camilla's back, and in perfect timing, because just like when she appeared on the scene several years ago, you know, we always suspected she was here for one purpose, to take Cisco away from the Flash. And guess what? Today she fulfills that purpose.
The circle is now complete. Once I was but the person leaving the Flash, and now I don't know.
Yeah, you're bombing hard on that one. No, but she is back. She is back, and it is great. You know, she's been behind the scenes. Of course, she's been a member of Team Citizen, and so it was great to have kind of a little Team Citizen reunion before the split up. So that's kind of nice with
actually referred to as Team Citizen, which was interesting. I believe I've mentioned it before, but it's been so long since I've heard the terms Team Citizen spoken by a character on the show. I was kind of like, it was odd to hear it. Then I was like, oh yeah okay, that is what they call themselves.
Well, otherwise you have like the Citizen Squad. That's I don't know. That seems a little, you know, 2013. I think this works out pretty well. I think Team Citizen's good. I mean, we got Team Flash, you got Team Arrow, you got Team Citizen. You know, that's great. It's great. They even have their, like, why, you know, it could be called Team Allegra. I mean, technically there is a superpowered individual on the team. Just saying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, they all work for Iris. So I mean, that's not really.
Well, I mean, technically Team Flash all worked for Iris a couple of seasons ago, so...
Yeah, that's true.
You know, it just kind of depends on how it all falls out. But regardless, man, Team Citizen is out here. They have uncovered that because of Iris's connection to the Forces, she can kind of be used as to some extent, a lightning rod, a bit of a means of tracking where they might be.
A diviner.
There you go, a divining rod. So let's talk about this, though. Iris and Barry, man, when a speedster and a lightning rod love each other very much, they touch fingers, and suddenly gods are born. We've got, you want demigods? Apparently, this is how we get demigods. Barry and Iris, man, they're parents again.
Yeah, but this time to not even twins, it's triplets.
Quadruplets.
Well, yeah, because I guess...
You know, Barry's mom, Nora, is also his daughter. So...
No, Nora.
Nora. Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, Barry's mom, Nora, is also his daughter. But not to be confused with his daughter, Nora. This is his daughter, Nora.
Nora. And Nora is actually somebody else, I think.
Yeah.
But we're going to talk about that.
Yes, so this is true. That being said, you know, the parental theme was pretty strong here, which I get it. It makes sense. I'm cool with it as a, you know, as kind of the connection they have with them. I find it interesting from a story standpoint. And by interesting, I mean it the same way I say, like, something that I don't like is interesting because I don't want to say I don't like it. Like, you know, because we kind of had an entire season of Barry and Iris becoming parents and dealing with that. And doesn't this seem a little rehashed? I mean, like, it was even Nora then. Not Nora, but it was Nora then.
Well, you know, it's after Crisis, so there.
Oh, okay. So is this how we're treating it? We could just redo all the other stories because Crisis?
Well, nothing happened before Crisis. Except for the things that did happen, but those didn't actually happen.
Nah, I mean,
because of Crisis.
Okay, look, we are. I'm sorry. I am not going to give away Crisis Mulligans. that comes that comes for time travel shenanigan, like head loops, not for like lazy story writing. No, I shouldn't say lazy story writing.
Well, I see where you're coming from. It does. Yes, there's kind of rehashy elements there, but I think this is a different take on it altogether. There wasn't necessarily any issues. It wasn't like Nora was evil or bad or going down the wrong path earlier, right? There weren't issues with that. It was just, you know, her naivety and her inexperience that was causing problems with Team Flash,
right,
then.
Okay.
And so,
yeah,
in this case, it's more of they spawn these like bad seed children.
So like,
right?
Rebellious child type situation.
Yeah. Like, it's a different kind of thing where it's like their job with Nora, I think, was more to teach. And I think their job with these new power children is more to like lead by example and kind of show them the error of their ways. Right.
Yeah. No, actually, that makes a ton of sense, man. I really hadn't considered it through that lens. But you're right. I mean, you know, every child is different. And so it's not just a in general, you know, hey, Barry and Nora are now parents. I'm sorry, not Barry and Nora. Not Barry and Nora, Nora. Barry and Iris are now parents, except they're not just, you know, parents. They are parents of terrible children. And so it's that whole notion of not giving up on your rebellious kids. Okay, I see that. I'm sorry, Belle. You know what? You were 100% right.
Yeah, we have seen them be parents before, but I don't think there's going to be the whole, oh, we're suddenly parents with an adult kid kind of stuff that we saw before. It's going to be, it's a different situation. It's a different scenario. And Barry and Iris are a lot more experienced since then, and they have a much different scenario to try and face. And so, yeah, I think it'll be nowhere near the same, I don't think.
Okay.
Until we see, you know, the things that the set photos and things that we've seen of things that are going to happen in the future, which I'm not going to mention specifically in case anyone hasn't seen them.
Yeah.
We may get more of the, oh crap, we're parents again, but not now and not with the power or not with the forces. Right. So,
right. Yeah. That's fair. Although we have talked about, I mean, like we talked about this last week, but since we have talked about the casting, you know, we've already talked about casting. So we know,
and that's true.
Yeah. We can at least say that we know that Bart Allen is in, you know, the Bart, you know, I guess Bart West Allen is in the future. Like that's coming. That is 100% going to be here. And we know that's going to happen this season. And so with that in mind, perhaps that parental theme, maybe we'll get some sort of, you know, the true kid or kids coming back from the future to deal with like these false kids, maybe.
Yeah, interesting, you know, yeah. Or
are we going to treat this like, are we going to deal with like holiday parties and the forces come to, you know, come to Christmas and everything? Like, is that the new normal?
I don't think that's going to be the case. You know, when they're talking about being parents of these things, it's got to be more of a, not literal sense, but like a figurative, yes, they birthed them into existence, but they're not going to be like, Dion, you know, if you don't finish your broccoli, you're not getting any, you know, speedster ice cream or whatever, you know, like right. That's not what we're talking about here. It's
still force. Go to your room.
Yeah. 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 Psych.
It's a timeout. Woohoo! Timeout.
Psych. No giving your sister bad dreams. Come on. You know, that's not what we're going to be dealing with here.
All right. No, that's good. That makes some sense. I can see that. But I do wonder, you know, with the forces, with kind of this revelation that they were kind of created by Barry and Iris, I've seen some mixed thoughts on that. Some people really do not like that idea. Other people, you know, nothing it, and other people think it's cool. I, for one, found the general explanation a bit confusing. So let me see if I was able to kind of, you and I maybe arrived on the same package here. These forces existed prior to Barry and Iris, but what they did was essentially bring them out of kind of, you know, like turn them from a force of nature into an entity and bonded that entity, and that entity found a human to bond with. Is that right? Is that wrong? Or how did you interpret it?
I don't know. So I need to rewatch the episode again because I had a real good idea because I was going to talk about this and it's starting to kind of like fade the more we talk about it, but I feel like it was their connection to the Speed Force, and I don't know, perhaps like I feel like these forces didn't exist before and now they do. They created them, and then the forces chose avatars, and the avatars that they chose, you know, had the issues like Dion peaked in high school, and so that kind of like warped his perception and made him who he was. Fuerza, you know, gets really, really angry at the, when Abracadabra came and like destroyed the houses, and that's why she went bad. Like, but I think these are, the forces they created somehow. Barry and Iris did. I don't know if they were always there before.
So, but here's the thing. Isn't the Speed Force like a force of nature? Like the Speed Force, like literally is a force of nature, right? At least in this universe.
Yeah.
So, Doesn't a force of nature exist prior to like humans are not
But I mean, okay, so if we go down this route, then how did the Speed Force die? You can't kill a force of nature.
Did the Speed Force actually die?
I mean, according to the show, it seems like it did.
It thought, yeah, I mean, Barry thought it was dying. We, you know, but I mean, like, was it actually dying, or was this all some kind of ploy to make Barry bring the Speed Force down to Earth, so to speak?
Interesting.
Right?
Go on.
Well, I mean, think about it. So, yeah, you know, this has been the Speedster speculation. I mean, like, this is not going to be the Speedster speculation this week because we've talked about it so many times. And I'll just go ahead and say I'm so close to hitting that I called it button. Like, it's not, it's crazy. but here's my thing. She did the Eobard move at the end of the episode.
Yeah, I mean, that's like classic Eobard, so it's got to be Eobard.
That's his move.
That's what he
patented
does.
It.
That's his thing.
It is. And so I'm thinking, man, like you know, this has been my speculation for some time now, and I stand by it. Like, that is Eobard to, you know, Thaddeus Thawne right there.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It seems pretty clear. I mean, I guess it's at this point that, yeah, that's where they're going. So perhaps then it was all a ploy, and Eobard needed this Speed Force to be, I mean, I don't, maybe he poisoned it or something, and there was no way for him to escape, and so he made it seem like it was dying so that Barry would, you know, he and Iris would go and try to revive it, and by doing so have it choose new avatars. Perhaps.
Maybe. I there's a couple of different ways they could play it. I mean, it could be that this was all, you know, Eobard all along. Like, that is 100% possible. And it tracks. You know, another way is that, you know, what we saw was not necessarily the Speed Force dying. But, you know, again, I don't know. I think that there's more going on than we realize.
Yeah, we talked about this before. It made perfect sense, right? Like, if Eobard always messes with Barry, and it always has to do with Nora, and in this case, he's taking on the form of Nora to mess with him more and get him to kill the other forces because he perceives them as a threat. Yeah, I mean, you know, it makes sense, right? For that to be Eobard. And I think there's going to be some kind of, like, you know, explanation, probably like in the form of a villain monologue where he's like, ah, ha, ha, ha. Here's what's going on. And so, I mean, maybe we'll see exactly. But yeah, I agree. There is more stuff going on than I think is here. And I feel a lot of that has to do with Eobard wants to kill the other forces because he perceives them as a threat. If Barry can go and convert them to, you know, quote, the good side or whatever, that would be a huge threat to Eobard, especially with a still force, you know, being able to freeze time and stuff like that. Like, that's, you
know,
direct counter to him. So clearly he wants the still force dead.
Dude, I loved the Still Force versus Barry. Like, that was a great, like, moment between Bion and Barry just kind of sizing each other up. Like, you know, if they are, they're these natural, like dichotomy that exists between these two entities, two forces. What Barry has access to, what Dion has access to. And it really actually, it kind of made me kind of wish that we actually had the Still Force as a season-long villain. Like, I feel as though we got a turtle. I know we're not calling him the turtle, but I mean, did you notice, like, his jacket, his letter jacket has like a very like turtle shell esque symbol on it?
Yeah. 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 I noticed that.
Yeah. I mean, like, why can't he be the turtle 3? Right. Like,
yeah. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Maybe I don't, that's the thing. It's like, I feel like they're going to go down the route towards, you know, reconciliation and stuff. And so it's sort of a, like, Captain Cold kind of thing where, like, you know, he's going to have a code about him now. And
that's a waste. No, this is a good character. Like, this, and I feel as though, you know, I felt like Captain Cold, honestly, was a little wasted in the way that we never really got him as a full on, you know, season long villain like we could have. Like, I think he would have made a really, really great season long villain. And you know, it was cool to have him around and kind of pull back from time to time, and that's great and yada yada yada. But at the same time, like, you know, hey, like, this is a pretty good character. And not on top of that, because of the relationship between the powers at play, it's such a great it opens up such great potential stories. I love the fact that he has such easy, like, such control over time. It makes the turtle, I know we're not calling him that, but I mean, like, if he was the new turtle, it makes him much more of a compelling villain and, like, a threatening villain. I remember specifically, you know, it's easy to show somebody kind of the early Flash runs and see, you know, the fastest man versus the slowest man. Like, you know, in modern context, that doesn't exactly sound all that threatening, right? Well, you put some of the, you know, you put the sci-fi on it and you're like, oh, okay, I can see how this is kind of a threat. But now you make it not just like, oh, this person is able to slow down time. Like, they're like, have this deity godlike, you know, force of nature power to slow down time. That's a legitimate threat. That is a legitimate threat that deserves more than just an episode or two.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
And can hold its own without the need of all the other forces at play. We did get a, you know, we did get a confirmation at the beginning of the episode where it said that she killed, you know, Lesdexa. What did we say we were going to call her?
Oh, well, we can't say Allegra because that's another character.
I know. I almost actually did call her Allegra. there's an SNL where it's like the elderly trying to deal with, you know, Axela. Is that was what it was, right?
It was something like that.
Axela. That's what it is.
Axela.
Yes. So Axela, like, Nora killed Axela. And I'm like, no. See, Nora was Ciri all along. That was what. Now we actually see.
Yeah, yeah. Cirabod.
Axela was. I mean, the Speed Force was Google. That's what it. That's what Google. Like, that's what it is. Google's out here trying to compare, like, you know, to compete with Axela, and they're like, hey, let's just summon a force of nature to wipe it out. That's what it's gonna take.
That's probably
what it's gonna take. But no, so she did die and was dead and then was brought back because the power of love, which, you know, we've talked about before, the power of love can be a little bit overplayed on this series, but this was different because it wasn't the Care Bear stare. It was a loving touch. And I thought that it actually worked pretty well given the explanation for how the forces came into existence. I am curious, though, did we know that the strength force was the blue one?
I had that same thought. That exact same thought when the lightning came down, I was like, okay, so blue is the strength force. That's what I was like, because, you know, we've seen all the different lightnings, and I don't recall there ever being any lightning around her, and I assumed that it was going to, I mean, pink with Psyche, obviously, but like, when Fuerza was up, wasn't she wearing like a purplish kind of jumpsuit sort of thing?
Yeah, it was a purple jumpsuit, yeah.
Yeah, and so, like, there were no indications there. It might have been smarter to make that blue. I don't know, but yeah. And then we see the blue lightning. I'm like, oh, okay, so blue lightning is strength force. Got it.
Well, so here's my thought on that, because you mentioned Psyche being pink. I, to me, maybe it's just, you know, maybe it's just the way it renders on my television. It looks kind of purple to me.
It's like a pinkish purple kind of
situation. They have specifically noted the colors of the lightning. Like, that has been a topic of discussion from Team Flash's standpoint. So they want us to pay attention to the color, right?
Yeah.
And we were never told that, I don't believe, and we might, and we, you know, we correct us if we're wrong, dear listener, but I don't believe that we were ever told that blue is strength force. And I think we've all been assuming that it was the red. And so now I'm wondering, well, okay, hang on now. If blue is strength, if green is still, and if Psyche, or rather the Sage, is more of like a purple, or a pink. Well, neither purple nor pink are red. They both have red. But I feel like the other ones are so on the nose, why wouldn't it be red? In fact, I went back and I looked at it, like, when he started phasing out, when Psyche started phasing out. I was like, okay, I guess you could argue that's kind of a reddish aura. But when the particles go up, no. Those are purple particles. Those aren't red particles. So I think that we're being bamboozled, my friend.
So, well, yeah, because, I mean, that's the only one that's really kind of unexplained right now, is that Nora has red lightning,
right?
Blue lightning, yellow lightning. The only lightning we hadn't seen on her is green.
And we might also have other, you know, there may be more forces at play. I doubt that, but it's possible that could be out there. I'm just thinking, man, what if we actually saw another force being born that night that they have not confirmed or noted? Like, what if the negative Speed Force essentially became, like, came into existence that night, as opposed to just being this thing, this artificial thing that Eobard created that got it on that godlike playing field?
I mean, that would make sense to me.
It's possible. I think it's so odd that Psyche, if rage is sage. I'm sorry, if hate if strength is sage or if strength is red, it seems so odd to me that sage,
strength is blue.
I'm sorry, if strength is blue, then it seems so odd to me that, you know, that they would have sage in such a non specific color. Because everybody else is. So I don't know. There's something there. And also the other thing too is, man, they're doing good about paying off some things. You know, we saw early on in the season, Wells Prime or Timeless Wells returning this episode. We saw him looking off to the side and we didn't quite know what that was all about until this episode. We get the discovery that he was actually looking at himself and of Barry.
I was so happy to see that get paid off. Like, I was so worried that was just gonna be one of those things where they're like, they're just putting it in there for people like us to speculate on.
Yeah, right.
And then they actually paid it off. That was really cool. Like, it was a nice little nod. You know, it helps you remember that the writers know what they're doing, that they have this idea that it's planned out, that that's what they're gonna do. And so it was really cool to see that. Yeah, that was a really neat little event there.
See, that kind of stuff makes me happy, and that makes me like now go back and like with some legitimacy consider what we've been told before and what we have been led to believe versus what actually is. And I think there might be something here, man. I think something's going on with the color scheme of the lightning that we have just not been made privy to. The other aspect too is, I mean, we keep on talking about it. Nora is glowing all kinds of colors. She is not just sticking with the yellow. Like she's got the color scheme all over herself right now.
Well, but she doesn't have any green. Like that's like the only ones I see with her are red, yellow, and blue.
Which, because I mean, I think, and I could be wrong, there's a couple ways to interpret that. One is that the Still Force is so much the antithesis of the Speed Force. There's be no reason why the Speed Force or a Speed Force impersonator would have green lightning, right? Because they wouldn't be tapping into that. Yeah. The other aspect is that we are seeing a combination of actual Speed Forces we've seen before, or actual kind of interpretations of the Speed Force interacting with reality. And I would argue, if that's the case, red in her lightning makes no sense, because red is the negative Speed Force, and the Speed Force would not be tapping into the negative Speed Force. It makes absolutely no sense. But somebody who has tapped into the negative Speed Force. Okay, all right.
Hold on. So what is blue? Blue is artificial connection to the Speed Force, right?
Yeah.
So you're absolutely right. Like, the negative Speed Force would have no need to tap into the Speed Force.
Exactly.
Unless it tapped into it artificially.
Oh!
Creating the blue lightning.
Oh!
And therefore, Nora, quote unquote, is Eobard.
I mean, yeah.
Because like, he is the negative Speed Force, the red lightning, acting as the avatar of the Speed Force.
And trying to maintain that, right? Like, yeah, he's trying to maintain it.
The only way he can keep up that facade, mm-hmm, is by artificially tapping into it.
There it is.
Hence the blue lightning.
Yes, sir. I think that's exactly what's happening. I think you're exactly right. I think that's exactly what's happening. It does seem like we're going in that direction. I'm excited, man. This is good stuff. This is good stuff.
Yeah, I will say this though. Going back to the point where, you know, they were talking about destroying the forces versus reforming the forces. Barry and Iris's butting of heads moment here. The one thing that I was kind of upset they didn't bring about was that, you know, okay, if Barry is the avatar of the Speed Force, you know, or he was chosen by the Speed Force or whatever, he's the human that the Speed Force inhabits, just like Dion is the human that the Still Force inhabits.
All right, so that's not confirmed though, right? Like, that is pure speculation at this point.
Well, I mean, Fuerza, it's because she was a normal person doing normal stuff. And then she blacks out as the Strength Force takes over.
Yeah, this was a big confirmation that these people were actually people and were not just like, you know, created the day that the Speed Force, or, you know, that the Force is released into the world.
Right. And so what I was hoping Sisko or maybe Iris would bring up to Barry is, you know, imagine you were one of them and somebody came to you and said, hey, look, sorry, I got to either, destroy the Speed Force, thus take away, you know, who you are, the Flash, that part of you. Like, nobody drew that parallel because it's basically the same thing, right? Like, right. Dion, he's sitting there saying, oh, you know, we're going to free you. He's like, I'm not, there's nothing wrong with me. This is who I am. You know, this is a part of me now. This is who I am. And you can't take that away from me. And like, you know, it'd be the same thing as somebody going up to Barry and be like, hey, look, we're gonna destroy the Speed Force. Sorry, bro. And he wouldn't be like, oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, I totally get it. Go ahead, destroy the Speed Force. I don't need it. It's, you know, it's a big burden. He wouldn't do that.
I don't know, man. Cool, this episode, he was kind of like, you'll lose the Speed Force. He's like, ah, it's fine. If I lose it, I lose it. Barry, I think, is not the avatar of the Speed Force. I think he's the avatar of the bad idea force. Like the bad plan force. And hey. Always has been. It was his destiny all along.
Hey, that's a nice timeline you got there. Be a shame if somebody were to ruin it.
Oh, man. I love that. Like, we got to return to time travel this episode, dude. I'm thrilled. Like, we haven't had some good time travel. I mean, I know we had like some like brief Cisco and Chester shenanigans in the 90s. But like in terms of like effectively, you know, like, hey, let's fix our problems with time travel. I'm like, oh, yes, this is the good stuff. I don't care that it's a bad idea and you should know better. That like I love it when it's a bad idea and you should know better. That's when the Flash is at his best.
Well, but hold on. They had a MacGuffin this time. They had Timeless Wells to come in and create a bubble to like not interfere with anything. So basically it seems to me like it's kind of like Iron Man snapping in Endgame, like,
right.
Keep everything the same up until this point, but just bring everybody back. So it's like, keep everything the same up until this point, except for delete the forces immediately at this point.
Yes. However, it does seem as though that it's a little too perfect of a scenario. Don't you think?
What? To time bubble it and protect them all?
Yeah. I mean, like, because if that's the case, then you can change the timeline without remorse, like without any consequences.
I don't know, because like, what could they change? And then keep everything the same up until the point where it's not the same anymore.
Oh, they can go get Nora. They can go get his actual mom, Nora.
And just, okay, so all of a sudden she's just basically come back to life.
Yeah, but she'd only come back to life in the present.
Right, in the present at that moment.
Right.
No, the past, nothing else has changed.
You literally have the power of resurrection now.
Yeah, that's true.
So, I mean, like, you know, I think it's a bit of a dangerous precedent to play around with this kind of Timeless Wells power.
It would only impact their future, right? It wouldn't impact the past. So hold on, but here's the deal, right? Like, they wouldn't create a flashpoint paradox and change stuff in the past up until the present. The flashpoint paradox would exist the moment that Nora came back into the present, because at that point, that's where the you know, were they to travel in the future in the Nora brought back from the past. Two timelines, Nora brought back from the past, Nora not brought back from the past. Okay. If they travel into the future of the Nora brought back into the past timeline, that would be different from if they didn't bring Nora in the past. So technically there would be a flashpoint created at the point where Nora is brought back from the past. It just only impacts the future as opposed to impacting the past.
Well, I mean, you could argue that about any kind of change you make to the present, you're effectively creating a multiverse every single moment.
Well, yeah, that's multiverse theory.
Yeah, exactly. But it doesn't necessarily impact the change. Like, in the way in which we as an viewing audience and they as characters in the show, I don't think that it, you know, I don't know that those kind of consequences are at play or should theoretically be at play. Now, let me ask this, because it is quite similar to something that we've seen before. If you think about Savitar, right? And I'm gonna try to talk this through out loud and see if I can, because I know there's a similarity, but I need to figure out where the similarity is and where the difference is. With Savitar, who was a time remnant from the future, okay, that was created, but it skewed off from Barry, who's in the present, right? So as he was in the present, any changes to him bodily affected him as a time remnant, but not the actions that he's taken up until that point.
So like Barry could cut off his hand and then Savitar would lose his hand.
Right. But it wouldn't affect the timeline that we've experienced with him from the future thus far. It would just take impact at that moment. You see what I'm saying?
That's the looper. That's like looper time travel.
Well, it's season one. It's you know, I'm getting a vasectomy, right? Like it's Eddie in season one. All right, Eddie, I should have gotten a vasectomy, Thon.
Yeah, Eddie instead of shooting himself, going immediately to the doctor's office to schedule a vasectomy.
Right. Oh, Eddie. Why, Eddie?
Eddie, man, come on. Let's think about this.
Didn't do it right. But anyway, so point being, like, that's the thing, right? He took that action and that immediately started impacting Thon, but it didn't rewrite the timeline. In fact, that set the precedent for how time travel would essentially, for the most part, but not universally, but for the most part, how time travel would work in this series. So with that in mind, we have a situation where Barry is now going back to the past and impacting things in the past, but that won't change the past, that'll only change the present that he left. It's like a, because of, I guess, the timeless Wells bubble effect.
Yeah, but I have a feeling we're not going to see that used anymore.
Well, so they made the argument that the big connection point there was because timeless Wells existed in both points, right?
Yeah.
So perhaps that's why it's not too much of a, you know, a well they can go back to, if you will. Interesting. Okay. Well, there you go. I love that we get, but see, even that, even just trying to like piece together those aspects of the time travel. That's what I love about the show, man. When we do this, this is the juicy stuff.
Out comes the dry erase board and the red lines and the crazy bow, you know, making all these timeline branches and stuff.
Yeah. Well, actually, I did find myself watching this episode and like on my sketch pad, just like drawing different things, like, okay, so person plus power makes speed force into, like, you know, like trying to get a sense of how it all fits together. Timeless Wells, though, you got to give Tom Cavanagh props, man, because he played this completely different from any other Wells that we've seen before. And I think it would have been so easy to make this Wells like Harry, just because that's the Wells that which we have the most familiar. But no, like this is different than Eobard. This is different from Harry. This is way different, obviously, from the Wells that followed. Timeless Wells, aka Wells Prime, very much his own Wells.
Yeah, yeah, and yeah. I mean, like, you know, he's done it with every Wells that he's done, like you said, and it's a testament to Tom Cavanagh's acting abilities. Like, yeah, he does a great job with every single one that he does.
Well, I almost think that there's like a, you know, you could almost forgive him to some extent for just going back to a character that we're more familiar with, because this is supposed to be like, you're supposed to get this feeling when this particular Wells shows up of like, Wells, you know, it's Wells is back, even though this is a character we've never really spent a lot of time with at all. And so,
I mean, there's been like, you know, one scene with like him and his wife, I think.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, but you know, yeah, like, you know, I see what you're saying. It would make, it could make sense for him to go and be more like a more recognizable Wells, but that's not the Wellses, right? I think we, you know, we as an audience are in tune enough with the show to know that each iteration of Harry is different. And so this one, Timeless Wells, is the original, the OG, and so therefore would be different. And so he was, and, you know, thought he pulled that off pretty good.
Did a great job. Yeah. Great job. You know, we had a nice moment between him and Sisko talking about, you know, and you know, there is that kind of amalgam situation going on. So he can, to an extent, speak to that experience that Sisko has had with all the various other Wellses. And, you know, we're looking at these two characters who are about to, you know, vacate the show. Their time with us on a regular basis is gone. Now, you know, I've even been thinking about it. You know, we've given the show a lot of flack for the way in which we've had so many different characters and they've needed to cut some people out, and, you know, getting to the point where it's like, look, you can even cut out the ones that we love. It's just, we'd like more cohesive stories, please. And I don't know, to maybe the credit of the show, they have prepared us for this exit for a long time.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so now that we're here, and I mean, we're not quite here, but now that we're basically here, that we know that Sisko's going away, we know that Kavanagh, or we know that, you know, all of the Wellses are going away. You know, it makes these moments feel a little bit differently, right? It just feels a little bittersweet in the right kind of way, I think.
Well, yeah. Yeah. Like, I have to say, you know, one of my big complaints of Nash Wells, like, sacrificed himself is that Sisko wasn't even there, right?
Right.
And then we had a little bit of Barry got to kind of say goodbye to all the Wellses. But I feel like this episode, Sisko finally got to say goodbye. And it meant a lot because, you know, Timeless Wells was like, you taught us as much as we taught you.
Yeah.
And like, that was the kind of thing, that was a sort of, you know, thing that I wanted to see sort of happen there is that, you know, they both built each other up through every iteration of Wells. Doesn't matter what the iteration was. It's like, is it that, you know, Harry and Sisko are this component that, you know, the sum is equal to more than the parts, right?
Right.
And so that was really cool to see, and I'm glad we finally got that. It wasn't necessarily at the moment that I originally wanted it to be, but it turns out that I might have been wrong, and that this was yeah this was the right moment, right? Because I think this, I don't think we're going to see Wells anymore. Timeless Wells or any Wells. I think that's probably the point. The next time we'll see Tom Cavanaugh is when he's going to be Eobard.
I think you're right. I think you are 100% correct, sir. You know what? So this episode has been all speculation, but you know, we do have one thing we need to double back on. But before we do that, let me just go ahead and say, Caitlin, also in this episode.
Speedster speculation.
All right, man, you already made mention of this, but the speculation this week has to do with if we accept the speculation that Nora is Eobard, which we do. We believe here at Flash TV Talk, have believed for several weeks now, that Nora has been Eobard all along. So if we accept this, then there is still a question of who is the Speed Force? Like, who is the Speed Force avatar? This episode confirmed that it could be a person, and probably is a person, that doesn't realize that they are the avatar for the Speed Force. So who could it be? Who could be the Speed Force?
It's got to be Barry.
It's got to be Barry, right?
It's got to be Barry, yeah. Because, I mean, like, that's the thing. Is like, you know, in The Lonely Dinosaur?
Sure.
Well, no, what was the episode name?
No, I know what you're talking about. The one with Kevin Smith.
Yeah, the Kevin Smith directed episode. I know it's got dinosaur in the title. I think it's Lonely Dinosaur. But that was the one where the Speed Force basically told him, yeah, we're you. You're us. We're all the same. Like, we're every speedster. So I think at this point, Barry is the avatar for the Speed Force, because he is the, you know, speedster present right now. And like, yeah. So it's got to be him.
Well, there's a couple ways they could play this. For one thing, yes, that's true. And it makes sense. That was really the running theory that was kind of going in the back of my head during this episode. And it's a fun kind of reversal to some extent of the concept of Barry becoming the Speed Force. In this, the Speed Force becomes Barry. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's kind of interesting. I do still think that there's if that's the case, there's still an opportunity that, you know, I don't know. I think considering the fact that we did not see him become the Speed Force in Crisis, I don't know. I think this actually makes for a unique opportunity here. There are other options though, Bell. Like, it's possible that, for example, the Speed Force could become Nora, young Nora. Like, maybe the Speed Force, because it's the Speed Force, went back in time to before Nora was wiped out and, you know, made her the new avatar. I don't know. I'm stretching here, but I figure, like, you know, what if we go from Nora to Nora? And it turns out Nora was the Speed Force all along. And of course, I'm talking about Nora West Allen.
Yeah, I don't know. I think, you know, I think that Nora is gone. I think the Nora that we're going to see here in the future is from a separate timeline where they have twins.
Yeah, you're probably right.
So we're going to get Nora back. It's not going to be the same Nora. It's going to be Nora with Bart, and they're twins this time. And that probably happened as a result of Crisis.
I don't think that's how biology works.
Fraternal twins are a thing.
Yeah, no, I know there's a thing, but like, wouldn't she not look like herself then if she was part of a twin set? If she was part of a set?
No, fraternal twins are two eggs fertilized by two different sperm.
Yeah, well, okay, but you're talking about, all right, kids, hang on, let me back it up. Bell, what I'm saying is that when the stork goes to the nest, even if there's two nests there, there's typically a lot of storks, and like, you know, those storks are trying to get to that nest, and I'm just saying, like, the chances of the same stork getting there are pretty, you know, but now we got two nests, and so wouldn't the fact that there are two nests mean that the different storks show up to the nest?
I mean, possibly, but this is a show. We want Nora back, don't we?
So, no, like, I know. The biology of it always throws me off when it comes to time travel, and it's like, oh, we changed the timeline, but now all the kids are the same. I'm like, statistically speaking, I don't think that's very likely.
Yeah, well, you know, and there's one timeline. There's 14 million and seven timelines, and we just happen to get the right one.
Right. All right. Hey, you know what? All right. No, that's fine. That's why we'll Doctor Strange this thing. Yes, she's back. I'm happy. All right. Yeah. So she's probably not the Speed Force. Barry, very, very likely is the Speed Force. But let me ask you this. If that's the case, did the Speed Force then create, like, So then Barry is his own father. If we're going with the Barry Iris parents of the forces thing, you know, wouldn't that make Barry his own father?
Well, but again, it's not like we're not talking about this in a biological parent
sense. No, but
it's,
I mean, like, they're treating it as such on the show.
I think that's still more metaphorical than it
They're
is.
They're going to lean in literal. Hard next episode. Have you seen the preview?
I haven't watched it because I don't want to get any Eobard spoilery things.
Well, they didn't show Eobard.
Okay, we're good.
At least I don't think they did. Not in anything that I saw. But they've got Not Ciri. They've got Not Ciri saying, like, you guys are like my parents. Like, oh, this was not a one episode theme. This is going to be a thing. This is where we're taking it for the rest of the season. So I'm just saying things are going to get very weird. Mississippi level.
We have like
a weird
grandfather paradox going on here.
Yeah, exactly. Futurama style.
Yeah. Yeah. Spatial loops and causal loops and all that stuff.
All right.
I don't know. We'll see.
I can't imagine who else would be the speaker. I mean, you could argue maybe Wells. Maybe? No, he's off the show.
No, it's Barry. It's got to be Barry.
It's got to be Barry. Yeah.
Barry's Speed Force.
All right, so there you go.
But I will say this, though. You talking about like...
Bell!
What?
It's McSnurtle.
It's McSnurtle's the Speed Force.
Yes.
Done. Case closed.
That would be... Like, what if at the end of the series, you know, like, oh, it was, you know, Eobard all along and we defeated him or we locked him up and whatever, you know, now he's going to go run off to do some things and yada, yada, yada. What if at the end of the season... They like all like hanging out at Iris and Barry's and they're like, oh, well, you know, hey, if he wasn't the Speed Force, who do you think the real Speed Force was? And they're all speculating on it. They don't know. And they're all walking out the door laughing so they can go to Jitters and get some coffee. And then the camera pans over to a little terrarium and there's McSnurtle and he looks over at the
with the lightning camera. In his little turtle
it's like,
eyes.
I'm still alive. And lightning's like goes through his eyes.
Yes, no, that would be great. But you talking about Barry going into the Speed Force has me thinking something that I think would be pretty cool. It's not necessarily speculation for this season or any upcoming episodes. It's more speculation of how they end the show.
Mm.
And I don't know. You're talking about Barry like going into the Speed Force and becoming the Speed Force. What if that's how they end the show? And like at the end, you know, they settle everything up and then kind of like how Kingdom Come Flash, like he's just gotten to a point where he's so fast, he's like almost everywhere all the time.
Yeah.
And so he protects, you know, Central City that way. That's what happens with Barry, right? Like Barry, he has to go into the Speed Force.
I do think an Amalgam Flash at some point would be great. That would be amazing if they ended up doing that. And I got to tell you,
it's just
man.
The city's like slightly... tinged red because he's literally everywhere all the time.
Yeah, that'd be so cool. I love that concept. It'd be great if we could see something like that. I don't know if we will or not, but I will say it's, you know, it's a good bet. Grant, I mean, I know that we're all tired, but it does seem like Grant, you know, and I don't know what kind of access they had to, like, you know, makeup when they were shooting these episodes, but I don't think I've ever seen a more tired looking leading man. And I mean, like, this is not like a, you know, not shaming him for his looks or anything like that, so don't at me. I'm just saying, like, specifically, like, he looks tired the same way we all look tired.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, what do you expect?
I mean, no, there's a point to that. There is absolutely a point to that. I just think that, yeah, we are not long for this Flash, I believe. as sad as it is to say. But you know what? We said that about Cisco and we kept him for like four more seasons, so you know, hey, let's see what ends up happening.
This is David Sobolov, the voice of Gorilla Grodd on The Flash, and you're listening to Flash TV Talk.
I am Grodd.
Listener feedback this week, man. We got a couple things real quick. I got to shout out Dr. Allen, the doc. He posted this in Discord, and I agree 100% with this. He said, just finished the latest FTVT. I suggest that if Eobard is using the guise of Nora to manipulate Barry... and as Bo suggests, we haven't seen the real Speed Force avatar yet. That Barry is the Speed Force and unaware of it. Yep, I think that's it, man. I think that's the ding, ding, ding for all the, you know, for all the prizes.
Winner, winner, chicken dinner.
Yes, sir. We also got to listen to Jim, Jim Friend, who wrote in, and what did Jim have to say?
Speaking of Wells, so sad to see Tom Cavanaugh is leaving The Flash. He is irreplaceable. I don't really get where they're going with the show. On Smallville back in the day, they had a couple of benchmark moments that propelled them into new directions, and it literally felt like they rebirthed the show, for example. After Clark graduated from high school, season 4, and then when he started working in Metropolis, season 7, those were pivotal moments that moved the story in new directions. I think The Flash had an opportunity to do this after Crisis, but it didn't really move the story that much. We need a new villain played by an actor with some real chops to challenge Barry Allen. I love the show and will watch until the end, but I wonder how much more gas they have in the tank. Thanks for all you guys do on the show. You both inspired me to get into podcasting. Hey, that's awesome. Best, Jim. Cool. Yeah, Jim. I don't know. Like, I agree, man. Like, I think I know we have one more season. I'm hoping it's going to be, you know, just 100 miles an hour, like in your face, Eobard, really, you know, real challenge to the Flash, you know, some big drama stuff happening. And then maybe they'll end it like on that note. I don't want there to be like six jump the shark episodes in one season as they kind of like run out of ideas. Like I think the show, there have been some, you know, not as good seasons, not as good story arcs. And
but even
some
those
really, really
not
great
good
ones.
Seasons had some like extremely great episodes. Like,
absolutely.
You know, and you actually, you know, he makes mention of Smallville here. You think back at Smallville, some of Smallville's worst seasons had some of their best episodes. And you go back and you're like, wait, this happened this season? What? So, I mean, like, it, you know, it's, you know, it's had home runs and it's had some, you know, some strikes, some swings and misses.
Like I agree with you though, Jim. Like I don't want them to end the story, with fumes in the gas tank. I'd rather them end it on a quarter tank. Like maybe they could do more, but I'd rather we get like a really awesome final season, that just, you know, just feels like really epic in scope. And like, you know, we got, it has to be Barry versus Eobard, in my opinion. I don't see how you could really close the series out without doing
that's
that.
That's exactly right.
And I think that would just be a great, and it seems like we're moving that direction. So like, if they did decide to end it on season 8, with Eobard coming back, please don't tell me they're going to fight and kill Eobard at the end of this season. And then what are they going to do season 8? Like they cannot do that. They cannot do that. And so, yeah, like, you know, I would be happy with that. I would rather them have one final real good knockdown drag out season with Eobard, as the season long villain. Even though I've said in the past numerous times that I don't like season long story arcs because Cicada ruined me. but I think I'll make an exception for Eobard.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, like, Eobard and Cicada are not in the same ballpark at all.
no, not even remotely. Yeah. And so, yeah, you know, I agree. Like, I think they've got some steam in the tank. I think they, or some gas in the tank. I think they've got some steam left. And so, and it seems like they're moving towards what I want them to move towards, which I'm really excited about.
I agree, man. I you know, if I, you know, could have my wish fulfilled, it would be for this next season to be the last season, for them to go into it with that mindset and to really just do it up big. You mentioned, you know, Eobard needing to be the season, you know, the series kind of finale villain. I think that's exactly right. We have never gotten a full origin story for Eobard on this show. How amazing would it be if in the last season we really dove into to that exactly and kind of unpacked the future that he was from, and kind of told that story from, you know, from at least an audience, from his perspective, so that we could see it as an audience. It might not be a future that exists anymore, but it's part of his personal timeline. And so I think something like that would be incredible. We know he hates Barry Allen, but like, what, let's get a deep dive into what makes him tick. And, you know, maybe at this point in his life and career, he's been through some stuff. You know what I mean? Like he's been wiped out of existence. He's had to live a good portion of his life in the past. He has had to go to Nazi planet and be a Nazi for a while. He's gone, like, you know, he's become a, you know, a ghost, and he kind of possessed a very, you know, another person for a while. So, you know, he's got some life that he has lived. He's been kind of a crazy person, Hannibal Lecter in the future for a while.
You know what we haven't seen though?
What we haven't seen?
We haven't seen the future Eobard.
We haven't.
Like,
you mean his past, our future.
Yeah, his past, our future.
That's like what I'm saying. We haven't gotten that origin story.
Like, I want to see that origin story, but I want Flash to fight like a full powered Eobard, right? So we see what happened then, and then they draw that into like his whole entire history up until the point where he comes back through quote Nora, and we then get the full powered Flash versus full powered Eobard.
I like it, man. What, like, it's possible that maybe with Eobard kind of becoming these gods, right? Like, are like this godlike power, You know, we see him, Barry, he uses Barry's lightning and says, thank you. Probably because he doesn't have the power. He literally needed the Speed Force power in order to try to kill another one.
Yeah.
Like maybe the idea here is that he's trying to get this power so that he can restore the future. Like his future's gone. You know what I mean? Like his timeline is gone. Like even though he exists, his home is gone. So what if we see him trying to recreate, like get this godlike power so that he can recreate the future? I don't know.
Kind of going back to speculation here. I mean, that could be why he's going after Dion right now, because Dion has the power to control time.
Yeah. Yeah. And, I mean, maybe so, he wants to get Eddie back. Like you are getting back here, and we're going to find the future Mrs. Thawne, and we are not killing yourself for getting this second. he's going to be like what was that Will Smith movie where he tries to get the guy to hook up with the girl? Hitch. It's going to be Hitch, but it's going to be Thawne. It'll be great.
Yeah.
All right, man. There you go. That's the episode this week. We need to call it here. Y'all, thanks to everybody who helped to make this show happen over at patreon.com/TV Talk. You can be one of them. Get access to the Discord as well. By the way, if you've not done so already, head over to iTunes and write us a review. It's a great way to help support the show. Doesn't cost you a dime to do it. You can also follow the show's handle at Flash TV Talk, or you could follow Bell at Ring That Bell.
But if 280 characters isn't enough to express your love for our show, feel free to email us at flash@podastery.com. That's podastery.com.
And for the latest news, daily discussions on all things Flash, it's out there. But you can also check out our Facebook page at facebook.com/FlashTVTalk.
And as always, special thanks to Charlie Bach, who provides music for our show. You can listen to the rest of his awesome stuff at soundcloud.com/CharlieBach.
You like Minecraft, you like us, then Flashcraft is a thing on our Flash TV Talk YouTube channel. You can find more there. You can also find the show and more links and all that kind of great stuff at tvtalk.fm. That's going to do it for us for this week. But don't worry, we'll be back in a flash. Well, we will see what is to come, but yeah, this whole episode has really kind of been speculation.
Speaks. Wait, hold on, you forgot one thing.
What did I think?
Caitlin was also in this episode.
Oh, wait, was she really?
She had one line.
Oh my gosh.
She said, I think Alexa woke up. And then she was done.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply. As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.